Just in case you don't know, this has been a morning of technical difficulties, so if you got lost on those flipping slides, it just happens that way sometimes, and it's okay. We also had an ambulance here after the first service. Someone had passed out, and we believe they were doing fine when they left, but Sarah Streidelmeyer, if you'd keep Sarah in your prayers, we'd appreciate that. So it's been one of those mornings. And today, on this Sunday that we call either Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday or Palm / Passion Sunday, and the scripture is so long, and it's like, what do we do on a day like today, and what do we talk about? Because we indeed, just as Sandy shared in the children's message, the scripture starts off with these waving palms and this celebration on how wonderful Jesus is, and we all love him so much we're throwing our cloaks down for his donkey to walk across, and we're waving these because we're so excited in the crowd. And all of a sudden, we just keep progressing, and we move from that to this scene before Pilate. It's an amazing scripture, and it's an amazing story, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, but on such a wide-ranging Sunday morning with so much scripture to speak of, I thought, what great theological discussion could we have to begin with? And so I chose riddles. I thought that would be a good place to start this morning. Everybody likes a good riddle, correct? Well, most of us do. Everybody knows the riddle of the Sphinx, right? That's what walks on four legs, then two legs, then three legs. You all know that one. The answer is? Somebody knows it. Louder. Man. See, we crawl, we walk, we have a cane later on. It's a great riddle, right? Well, I've got some even better ones for you here. How far can you walk into the woods? Halfway. After that, you're walking out. Come on. Stay with me. Imagine you're in a sinking rowboat surrounded by sharks. How would you survive? Stop imagining. Okay, there's a good one. Mount Everest. Before Mount Everest was discovered, what was the highest mountain in the world? Mount Everest. Yeah, that's not too tough. You figured that one out. Just because you didn't see it, you know. Okay. What is light as a feather, but even the strongest man cannot hold it for more than a few minutes? It's breath. Oh, you guys are getting better. I'm so happy. Because that last group I wasn't sure about. So, but the reason I started with those riddles just for fun, and by the way, there are some really complicated riddles, by the way, but I took those off a children's website, so I thought maybe we could handle them together. But one of the things that I noticed in this text today, especially the piece that I've chose to speak on, is there seems to be a riddle going on here. Something happening with no direct answers, but just indirect phrases happening. In fact, in the beginning of this piece that I'm going to talk about, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you king of the Jews?" And Jesus basically should have two answers to that, right? Either yes or no. Yes or no, that's it. But what does he say instead of answering yes or no? He basically says, "Well, who told you about this? Who told you about, why would you have any idea of this?" And then he continues on in the conversation, and he finally comes down and says, "Well, my kingdom's not of this world." Now, isn't that a question that just begs of a riddle? If it's not of this world, Pilate's thinking, well, where in the world is this kingdom you're talking about? And we still have this back and forth and this no direction. And then we come to this piece of the scripture that is perhaps my favorite and the one I want to speak a little bit about to you this morning, where Pilate says to Jesus, "Oh, you are a king then." And Jesus answers, "You are right to say that I am a king. In fact, this is the reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is on the side of truth listens to me." And then Pilate makes this statement that everyone has been arguing about ever since. Pilate says, "What is the truth?" And ever since that day, I think we've been arguing about it. It's probably the reason we have 4,972,000 denominations. And we have so many people thinking they understand what the absolute truth of God is. And so we seemingly have argued about this amazing riddle ever since. What is the truth? What an amazing question to tackle on this week of the Passion, this week when we're looking towards Good Friday and the crucifixion of Jesus. If Jesus says he came into the world to testify about the truth, what is that truth? Because wouldn't it be helpful to know it? There's one very important thing to understand today. In the Hebrew thought of Jesus' day, in the Jewish understanding, and this is so critical that we understand this, that truth meant something different than it means for us. Truth was something invested in a person. So when Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth, he said, I am coming to bear witness to God. And all who understand, all who see God, all who are God's people will hear my voice and they'll know and they will respond. He didn't say, I come with the right set of propositions. He didn't say, I have the right and correct list of facts that you need to memorize and be able to tell me about. He didn't say, I came with the pure doctrine that everybody needs to know. He didn't say, I came with this piece of absolute truth. That's a thing we throw around today, isn't it? That phrase, absolute truth. Oh, don't you believe in the absolute truth? Well, by goodness, I do. And the absolute truth for me is God. That is the absolute truth. And so what Jesus came was to offer a relationship with the truth. First, he bears witness to the truth. And then later on, he says what? I am the truth. I am the embodiment of God. This God that wants a relationship with you. So it's not about being right, it's not about being wrong, it's about being in relationship. And we're going to still argue for the next 2,000 years about who is right. But the truth is found in God. Now, I thought, since we were speaking of riddles today, I thought we'd talk a little bit about how this works for us today, and we might as well just keep riddles going. So I thought I would put three songs together for you, and I put these three songs together in a way as we talk about them, maybe we could understand who God is for us, who God is in our life. What is the truth for us? What is our relationship with this God that came to be among us? And the first song is one that's deeply theological. It's one that's very difficult to sing, but I'm going to trust that a few of you probably have a good enough voice to sing this song. And my voice is about gone, so I'm really going to count on you to sing this song, and you will know this song, I guarantee it, in the deepest theological veins of your body. If you've never been in church in your life before this day, you'll know this song. It's imprinted on your soul. And it goes like this. The itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout. So let's go. Now, from that point, let's do it. The itsy bitsy spider went up. Very good. I did discover there's more than one version of that at an earlier service. We had to argue about which one was the truth. But the truth is today that as we speak about that, there is a deep theological truth that's part of that riddle. Because that's a really fun song, isn't it? For everybody but who? The spider! I mean, it wasn't very fun for the spider, was it? I don't know whether it was the falling back down or the drying out part. But I mean, this message has a eternal truth in it, that life has futility in it, that not everything is easy, that sometimes life can be difficult and there can be struggle. We've known this forever. The Greeks had a myth, and it was later written about by Albert Camus, and it's called the myth of Sisyphus. And Sisyphus' job, according to the myth, was to take this giant stone and to roll it up this incline. And he would spend all day, and just as the day was ending, he would finally get this large stone to the top of the incline, and then it would roll back down, and he would start over again. Have you ever had a time in your life where you felt like that's what you were doing? That there was a struggle, either in a relationship, in your finances, with your family, with church, whatever, with God? Was there ever a time in your life where there seemed to be futility and struggle? Because it's pretty common, by the way. It's a pretty common human thing. That's why the Greeks wrote about it. That's why it's in the scripture. That's why we still talk about that today, the how difficult it can be and how futility could just kind of grip us. Sometimes I've talked to people in the last few weeks that have been looking for jobs and struggling with jobs or having their jobs rearranged and taken away from them. And so some of you are facing that this morning, and it's a sense of futility when that happens. Others of you are in the midst of a relationship that's not going well, and you try to fix it and repair it, and you try to make things better, but sometimes it's just like the stone rolls right back down the hill every day. Some of you might be caught up in this mortgage crunch. People right here in our neighborhood bought homes that you could start buying at this price, and 5 years later you're paying this price, and it's a difficult time. How do you do it? Some of us still have bills left at the end of our money, and we don't have any more money to pay the bills, and so it's a struggle, and we feel the futility that goes with that. And so we all understand this part of the riddle. My daughter Emily, and I know a lot of you know Emily, and Emily is she has a special needs child as well as another that they've adopted, and her husband's a pastor, and they don't make much money, and they've worked hard. They wanted to buy a better vehicle because most of their vehicles are in like the $800, $900 range. So they saved to buy a good vehicle, you know, a $3,000 one. And so they had the $3,000, and at the end of the year, they bought this van, and they thought, boy, we're going to have a van that's going to run us for a while. And last Sunday was Emily's birthday, and she called me, and she said the transmission went out of their van. She knows what it's like to roll the stone up the hill and have it come rolling back down again. It's a challenge. It's a challenge, and life can be that way for all of us. We all know what it's like to start over, don't we, and to try again. The next song in this riddle that we're trying to figure out of what the truth is for us and how the truth lives in our life is another song with deep theological meaning, and it's Rockabye Baby. Now, we all know this, at Rockabye Baby in the treetop. So, and as you know, as you can well tell, I'm such a good singer that I'm going to have you sing this one with me. And Don Uglow in the first service was singing out loud, so if somebody would sing out loud, it would really help. So, are you ready? Rock.
When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall, and down will come baby, cradle and all.
Any of you sing that to your children? What were you doing, trying to scare the heck out of them? I mean, that may be a cheery little song, but not to the kids. I mean, you know, oh, I just love you so much, I'm going to put you in a treetop. And if the wind blows, boom, sorry, tough break. You know, if I knew I was going to do this morning, you know, Greg, we could have put these all up here with the little bouncing ball, you know, sing along. Next time, we'll remember that, next time. But I mean, this song has another meaning for us that we understand. We do understand that struggles and suffering can happen to people. I mean, sometimes the bough breaks for all of us. I mean, it just happens that way. You know, I had a friend growing up that always had a saying that was, some days you eat the bear and some days the bear eats you. And I think that just is the way life can be. And sometimes there can be suffering involved, and it's on different levels. Sometimes it can be very personal, and sometimes it can be corporate as part of a body, and it could happen in so many different ways. Sometimes it's because of loss. We lose someone that we love and they're dear to us, and so we feel the suffering that goes along with that. Other times it's physical pain. We had a woman in our church that fell last week and broke both ankles. Can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine the suffering, not only the suffering, but the frustration that goes with that kind of an accident? Other times we feel betrayed by somebody we care about, and they're important to us, and they do something that feels like we're stabbed in the back, and we know what it's like to suffer. And at other times, we get that word that we don't like to talk much about in today. We hear it in our family, and we like to just to shut down, and it's that word cancer. And we know people that have struggled and battled through cancer, and they fight it with every ounce of their body, and we don't like to hear that diagnosis because it means suffering for someone. And so as we begin to put this riddle together, it seems like as we're looking for the truth in our life, it seems suffering is a part of the riddle, and futility is a part of the riddle. But then there's another piece of the riddle in the third song. It's a song that's been around for a while in one form or the other. The music was written by Ludwig von Beethoven, the words by Henry van Dyke. And here's the first line of the song. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Love. as we begin to put the pieces together and understand that the truth for us is not necessarily God bailing us out of every bad circumstance we find ourselves in, every struggle we're in, every futile situation we face, every piece of suffering we face, but understanding that God is there with God's love no matter what the situation. Here we find Jesus in this week of his life, standing in the shadow of the cross and willing to go forward because he understood the truth. He understood the relationship, the love of God. And so that is the important piece that puts this riddle all together. That no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what the struggles are, the suffering, the futility, no matter the pain, God isn't there to necessarily change things and turn things around. God is there to be with us, to suffer with us, to struggle with us, to hold us, to love us. Because God is the Lord of love. And that is the truth of a relationship. When we're offered a relationship with God, it's a relationship based in love, not based in right words or right doctrines, but based in love. God's love for us and our response to God's love. Gary Eberle wrote a book that was out about a year ago entitled Dangerous Words. Eberle is a linguist. And he goes back and he studies the beginning of words. And one of the words he chose in this book was to study the word truth. And what I discovered in reading his chapter was that this idea of truth being either right set of facts or things we ascribe to is a fairly new meaning. That's only been around for a couple of hundred years. Before that, truth meant something different. Truth meant something much deeper and more powerful than the right knowledge or the right facts. Truth was about a relationship with someone. When I put my truth with your truth, we can have a relationship. When we understand that I'm putting my confidence in you, we're having the truth of a relationship. Our relationship is true. And that was the original meaning. It meant me making a personal commitment of myself to someone else. And so Jesus comes. And he says, I come to bear witness to this personal relationship you can have with God. In fact, that's the reason I came, to offer this to you. And just in case you don't know how to get it, I am that relationship. A relationship with me is a relationship with God. And so the truth was not believing in something like a set of principles or facts or doctrine. I mean, believing in that, but it was believing in a person, and in this case, the person of God, God in the flesh among us. And so when Pilate was so confused and said, what is the truth? He had no clue that the truth was standing right in front of him. The truth was incarnated, put in the body of this man, Jesus, and given to us. You see, the truth isn't about having the right facts, but having the relationship, a relationship we're each offered over and over again by God. And so today, as we look down this road in this week ahead and we think about what's coming and what Jesus was willing to face on our behalf, that cross, that passionate life and passionate death on our behalf, Jesus comes to say, I am the truth. I am the relationship you need. The question is, are we willing to live that relationship? Are we willing to accept that relationship with God? I think Palm Sunday is a day of mixed feelings, the feelings of the passion and looking forward to the cross, but a day of joy and celebration because finally we know the answer. We know who the truth is, not just what the truth is. And we have an opportunity to respond. And maybe the riddle should end with this song. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, for the truth has come among us. The truth is flesh among us, and the truth is offering us the love of God. Thanks be to God for this opportunity. Amen.